down.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Well done, Simon. Good man, you got it right. Monday. Welcome to the Richie Allen Radio Show. Hope you've had a decent old weekend. And, well, it absolutely belted it down here in the northwest today. Horrible old weather. Wintry rather than autumnal. It is October 26th. Dr. Vernon Coleman back on the radio show today. I'm looking forward to catching up with him in around about 30 minutes' time.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yes, Dr. Vernon Coleman, vernoncoleman.com, and the channel is on brandnewtube.com. An old man in a chair, back on the programme for an extended conversation in around about 30 minutes, as I just said. Do drop me a tweet, how are you? Hi to Ruth in Australia, great friend of ours. How you doing, Ruth? It's very late there, our kid. How you doing? An old pal. Yes, right, just get on with it then, you big baldy creep. Honestly, I'm not having a hair transplant. I'm not. The amount of emails. I was joking. And then somebody said to me, well, you say you're joking now, but the evidence is there. You can see where it's all been threaded. It's a joke. What I did was, after using the old razor to shave it, I then got out the Bic razor and I put a bit of shaving cream on my head and I completely shaved it off because I'm fed up of it. Fed up. Not fed up of being bald, but fed up of this. When you let it grow back, there's a Friar Tuck effect around the sides and it's grey. And I look old, and I'm not old. I'm devilish, I can't even say it, so it must be a lie. Devilishly handsome I am. I'm gorgeous, we both know that. So I can't have this Friar Tuck thing, so I get the straight razor out, and I just shave all around the back and the sides of it. Because I'm not vain, god damn it. If I had the money now to have a hair transplant, I could spend it on a lot better things than a hair transplant. How am I going to explain it when I have a full head of hair in 3 months' time? Lovely. Let's move on. Prince Harry unburdened himself of a massive secret that he has been carrying around for years today. Big news this.
Hi there, welcome back. You're watching Sky News today. Now, Prince Harry has said he didn't know what unconscious racial bias was until he spent a day walking in Meghan's shoes.
Yes, he's a cross-dresser. Now, if it was only one day, he could be brought back from the brink. But it's worse. Here's the man himself.
Unconscious bias, from my understanding, you know, having had the upbringing and the education that I had, I had no idea that what it was. I had no idea it existed. And then, you know, sad as it is to say, it took me many, many years to realize it, especially then living a day or a week in my wife's shoes.
Living a week in leave your wife's shoes alone, there's a good lad. What would your father think? There's a question. What was the song? Oh, Charles, don't you ever crave to appear on the front of the Daily Mail dressed in your mother's bridal veil. Ah, Morrissey. Good lad, good lad. A Welsh woman wrote on Twitter that she was raging and in tears. Why? Because she wasn't able to buy sanitary products, a maxi pad or something like that, at Tesco's in St. Melons in Cardiff. St. Melons. Who the hell was St. Melon? What did St. Melon do to be canonised? To be beatified? St. Melon. They made that up, didn't they, St. Melon? So she went in to buy some vagina pads and the aisle was blocked off. Wales is in total lockdown and supermarkets are told and have been told they must not sell non-essential items. This poor woman couldn't get her very essential products. Here is the hapless Welsh Health Minister, Vaughan Gething. This guy is a proper plonker.
This weekend has been dominated by the issue of what can and can't be sold in supermarkets. I understand that there's some confusion whenever new rules to control the spread of coronavirus are introduced. I want to clear up some of that confusion today. I was very saddened to see this particular exchange on social media this morning from a supermarket telling a woman she could not buy period products. This is simply wrong. It's an incorrect reading of both the regulations and the guidance.
An incorrect reading of the regulations and the guidance. How fucking stupid do you have to be to cordon off the sanitary towels? What are they called? What are they called? The future Mrs. Allen asked me to buy them one time in 18 years, and I was mortified. It was like that old Brendan O'Carroll gag about going to the supermarket, or going to the chemist with an empty brown bag. What are they called? Sanitary towels, right? Right, yeah. Obviously they're essential. How stupid do you have to be?
And I'm very sorry that this woman was given this information. Supermarkets are open and trading, as are many other shops, and are able to sell the wide range of everyday items that we all need. But there are some other items that won't be on sale for the next 2 weeks.
And do you know what they are? This dickhead, do you know what they are? Kettles and electrical goods. How can you describe a kettle as a non-essential item? It's non-essential until your own kettle breaks down. And of course, the gremlins that are built into these systems for them to break down after 18 months anyway. Obviously, they're essential items. Kettles, electrical goods, clothing. How is clothing non-essential? Children's toys, obviously essential, right? Everything is essential when you need it. Of course, what happens then is Jeff Bezos rolls around on his back with his arms and legs kicking in the air, laughing his arse off, because everybody just goes to Amazon. There's always a winner. And listen, back to that unconscious bias thing. I see a few tweets coming in there. There is no such thing as unconscious bias. It's bullshit. It is nonsense. We don't go about our lives with bias hidden in the deepest recesses of our brains. This whole thing is about the notion that black people or other ethnic minorities are at a disadvantage, that they start off at a great disadvantage because the rest of us, white people, are unconsciously biased against them. It's horse shit. There is no evidence to support it. Right. Okay. In good form today, Baldy, I am. That does me brains in. That does my brains in. Unconscious bias. And of course, people are racing now to get unconscious bias training courses for their staff. Again, the oft-mentioned future misses. This has been mooted for them, for her team and everybody else's team. Jesus. You hear about Samantha Price, you did, head teacher at a school called Benenden School. Benenden School. Some royals went there in the past, apparently. That horse-looking Princess Anne, horse-faced, she was there. I don't know if any other royals were there. Anyway, this teacher, Samantha Price, head teacher, was giving a lesson on Black History Month. She was discussing how language around black people had changed in the last century. She explained that the term Negro was widely used to refer to black people. Some of the senior girls complained to her and said she was a racist. Heard you're a racist now, head teacher. Said she was encouraging racism, eh? £40,000 a year to send your daughter to this school. And like a proper Muppet, this head teacher apologised. But parents have intervened, expressed their support for her, with some of them saying this is just outrageous that you can be accused of racism for, in context, discussing terms that were used back in the day. Black people themselves used to refer to themselves as Negro. Where does it end, this snowflakery, eh? Where does it end? Tyranny reigns supreme at the moment. You know this, I don't need to tell you. Here's a bit of audio snatched from a video from the Daily Mail online, dailymail.co.uk. The video is of a man at a shopping mall in Kent. He's being pursued and harassed by three police officers. This is scary stuff. They're trying to throw him out of the mall, telling him he is trespassing, getting very heavy with him. Why? Obviously, he doesn't have a mask on, despite him telling them repeatedly that he is exempt. This is shocking stuff, this.
You need to leave. You need to go. You are an aggressive problem, and you need to go.
What's your police number?
You are.
What's your police number?
Just mate.
What's your police number?
Mate.
Listen, what's your police number?
Listen, my friend, right.
That's what's your police number?
Right, in a minute.
All right.
Right, just, you need, what you've done.
Make yourself famous.
You're not wearing a mask.
Yeah, and I'm exempt. And I'm exempt. I've got a doctor's letter in my pocket.
What's you going to walk over people?
Do you want to see the doctor's letter as well?
I'm going to walk over people.
Do you want to
see? I've asked you to tell me what your exemption is. Is because
make yourself famous for being a discriminator of people with disability.
At the level of aggression.
Make yourself famous.
Has banned
you're a clever person, aren't you? A man, ain't you?
I will chat to you. Push that in my face. I'm not putting it. Don't push that
don't
in my face.
Don't touch me.
Do not push that in my face.
The police officer is a wretched thug. A thug. And there should be a thorough investigation of his conduct. The chap is trying to show him the letter from his doctor, which he doesn't have to do by law anyway. He does not. You are not compelled to tell a police officer or anybody else if you're exempt from wearing one of those fucking things. Just say you're exempt. And that's enough. The Equality Act covers this. And a thug was looking for a reason to arrest him, making out that he was putting the letter in his face when he wasn't. Thugs now, wearing uniforms, walking around supermarkets, harassing people. That's where we are now in 2020, eh? How could you not lose your fucking temper witnessing that? Ah, the guy did really well to not to properly lose it. And I hope, you know what I say to solicitors? This is easy money for you. Take these cases and you take your third off the top for yourself. It's an open goal. Thousands of pounds for every incident of discrimination. I'm not making this up. It couldn't be any clearer, the Equality Act, when it comes to this. You don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to tell anybody why. You just don't wear a mask. Be polite. I have an exemption. What is it? Well, with respect, that's between me and my GP. And if they take it further, whip out your phone, start filming and get yourself to a solicitor. It should be a fucking gold rush for UK solicitors, this. A gold rush. Open and shut. Take your third off the top of the winnings or the damages and be done with it. Outrageous. Outrageous wearing a uniform, treating people like that. Pushing him and threatening him and harassing him. Easy money, solicitors. I'm sure there are solicitors listening to this programme. It's easy money. A COVID test that can give you a result in 12 minutes will be made available at Boots, which if you're not in the UK, is a major pharmaceutical shop chain, pharmaceutical chemist, pharmacy chain. It's a nasal swab. And you, the customer, if you want it, it'll cost you £120, but it's only available to people who are not showing symptoms. This is crazy stuff now. Boots have said today, this test for £120 is there to give customers peace of mind. If you think you have symptoms, stay home and contact the NHS to book a COVID test, says Boots. But if you have no symptoms and you're wondering if you have COVID, give us £120 and we'll do a 12-minute turnaround test for you. Mad stuff. Here's BBC Health editor Hugh Pym on this story.
This is potentially very interesting, but let's look at exactly what it is. It's a nasal swab test delivering results in 12 minutes. It's been proven to be effective amongst people who have symptoms, but we're trying to find out a bit more about how effective it's been with those who don't have symptoms, and I think more data is needed on that. And of course, it is aimed at people who are asymptomatic. Boots don't want people walking in to stores with symptoms because that absolutely is not what is intended. So it's going to be rolled out in future weeks, we're told, at a price of £120. What we don't know is how much availability there'll be, whether there'll be big demand or whether people will think the price is too much. So That is not totally clear. The other important point to make is there will be a testing system run through the company for those who are planning flights to certain countries that require a test beforehand, and there may be a government policy on that to come. But that is a traditional PCR test, the sort that you get in a drive-through centre. For that, you have to wait 48 hours for the result. That'll also be available through the company.
Yeah, and the PCR test, and I bet you Hugh Pym knows this, the BBC Health editor, the PCR test is absolutely worthless. If you tested a fucking ham sandwich, it would come back with a positive result. It is dreadful. This is the reason that the government can get away with these daily horror stories of cases going up and up and up and up. They're testing hundreds of thousands of people a day now, and many of them coming back positive. The vast majority of those people coming back positive don't have any symptoms whatsoever. They're not sick. And the test is highly dubious, this PCR test. We've done a lot on that, so I won't labour the point. 18 even and a half minutes past the hour. The Richie Allen Show for Monday, October 26. Sorry for shouting a few moments ago. But Christ, huh? Imagine it. Where do you think they get the idea that they can behave like that? Policemen and women in this country. Why are they so sure that they're going to get away with it? Why are they so cocksure of themselves that there will be no retribution, that they can go around pushing people, threatening them, behaving like thugs and turfing them out of supermarkets? Because it's coming from the top, isn't it? Obviously. But remember, stay calm, film if you can, ask for the badge number, don't raise your voice, don't step into them, into their personal space, and then get yourself to a solicitor. It is easy money. Easy money. I'm telling you. Here's a story that was, I suppose it's a sign of the times. Hospitality jobs have been decimated. As you know, the UK is in a, well, England is in a three-tier system now where every city in England, every parish is either in tier one, two or three with respect to where we are with the virus. This is crazy stuff. You know this, I know this. Manchester is currently in tier three. Greater Manchester, Lancashire is, Liverpool is, and, well, it's destroying hospitality, bars, restaurants. It has been since the outset, the beginning of this back in March. Right, okay, you know that. I don't need to tell you what you already know. Apparently young men and women, and maybe a non-binary person or two, are applying in their droves for Santa jobs, playing Santa, that is. Matthew Rice runs Great Grottos. Great Grottos, yeah. He gave Five Lives' Emma Barnett the lowdown. What's going on?
We're finding that we've had more applications for the roles that we hire for, and we staff Christmas Grottos. So we hire one Santa and about 500 elves every year. And we're finding that numbers are massively up.
And is that in terms of the demand, do you think, because of people looking for work, or what are you kind of detecting?
It is because all those bright young things who work in hospitality and events need something to do, and their industries have shrunk.
And are you finding now, when you are going towards this, that in terms of are you feeling confident about how this is going to work this year? Because, of course, people are concerned that we'll even have any form of Christmas.
Yes, I'm very confident. Firstly, we're seeing that we've got more bookings this year to see Santa than we had done last year, which took me by surprise.
That's interesting. So people are just hoping, perhaps?
Yeah, I think that people want to make sure that some element of normalcy is booked in and preserved this year.
Mm. Yeah, young men and women on the breadline looking for jobs working in Santa's grottos around the country. Crazy stuff. While you have every politician and every academic dragged out day in, day out to TV news and radio news programmes to tell us all that we won't be having a normal Christmas this year. And a couple of things that I tweeted out very early on today, which I will get into with Vernon Coleman, Dr. Vernon Coleman, very shortly. A couple of big stories. One of them is the Daily Telegraph has covered, to its credit, has covered the flu vaccine deaths in South Korea. South Korea, as I mentioned on Sunday View yesterday, has reported 48 people have died after getting flu shots. And because of that, Singapore has temporarily halted the use of two of these flu vaccines as a precaution. Basically, the news coming out of South Korea has spooked the Singaporean. Is that what you say? Is it Singaporean? Got to ask the great Jean Anne. Tampax, by the way. Tampax. Sanitary products and sanitary towels is very old-fashioned. I'm allowed to say Tampax now. So Tampax it is. I'll find a few more reasons to say Tampax before the programme is over. So the Singaporean authorities, if that's how you refer to them, has said, right, we're spooked. 48 people dropped dead in South Korea after getting the flu vax there. We should call a halt to it. Now, I did mention on Sunday View yesterday, this story has been out there since Friday. It was out there again on Saturday in terms of Reuters reported on it. But nobody picked it up in the UK in terms of, say it for me, Andrew Marr, Sophie Ridge, the Radio 4 mid-morning talk shows yesterday. No, nobody wanted to touch it. At a time when vaccines are being rushed at the speed of light through distribution and apparently will be given to so-called key workers in the UK this side of Christmas. You would have to be off your head to take it. And speaking of being off your head, if you are a relatively healthy young man or young woman, and you're healthy, and you go to Boots and give them £120 to try and find something in your system that you don't have any symptoms for, do everybody a favour and have a fucking vasectomy. Just have a vasectomy. You're useless. You don't pollute the gene pool any more than you already have. Right? Vasectomies. All round. Nothing wrong with you. You find yourself walking into Boots. You've got your £120, probably not in cash. You've got your card in your hand. You might as well get a vasectomy while you're there. Presumably Boots do vasectomies, do they? Okay, they probably don't. Oxford vaccine will be ready by Christmas. Adrian Hill. This is Oxford AstraZeneca. A volunteer for the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine died in South America recently. And Oxford and AstraZeneca told us that the person who died took the placebo. Yeah, sure he did. This is a person that had the spinal infection after having the vaccine and was rushed to hospital. Yeah, we believe that the person had the placebo. Yeah, of course we do. Yeah, I've got some beachfront property in Birmingham to sell you at the same time. Adrian Hill, Oxford, COVID-19 vaccine. It'll be ready. And it's going to get approval, emergency approval. This is approval without proving that it's safe. This is insane, dear listener. It's going to get emergency approval, said Adrian Hill, so that the elderly can get it. The elderly will be given this fucking thing while the final trials are still underway. Again, if you have a granny or a granddad, move heaven and earth to persuade them not to have this fucking thing. I'm sorry for swearing. I'd given up on swearing. I'd become more professional, but I can't help it. Let's approve something before it's actually been proved safe. It'll never be proved safe, of course. Emergency approval. Trials are still going on. Let's stick this in granny and granddad. This is insane, this. It's utterly insane. Yeah. Wow. What are we? 26 minutes past the hour. Tell you what we'll do. We'll have some Sammy Davis Jr., won't we? And then we'll have Dr. Vernon Coleman. Sammy Davis Jr., the Candyman on the Richie Allen Radio Show. Hi to Natalie Stacey, great friend of ours. How you doing, Natalie? Richie, give a shout out to my awesome US colleague, Harry, who I am trying to get listening to the show regularly. If we never take the time, how can we have the time? This might cheer him up and get him listening. How you doing, Harry? Lots and lots of tweets, by the way. Thanks for them. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Without further ado, let's welcome back to the programme the terrific, the one and only Dr. Vernon Coleman. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Ricciardo. How are you?
I'm very well. It's great to hear you. It's a tonic to have you back on the programme. It really is. There's so much to get into, right? And we have all the time that you have today. There's so much to talk about. One of the things that's concerning our listeners, if I go by the Twitter feed today, is a story I just covered a moment ago before you came on. And that is a guy called Adrian Hill at Oxford University, who's part of the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine rush. He's basically said there will be emergency approval given for their vaccine while it is still being trialled so that old people can get the vaccine this winter. What's your reaction to that?
That's very sweet of him, isn't it, to care so much. Chris Whitty and the NHS didn't care so much a few months ago when old people were being denied access to intensive care beds. I am daily more and more astonished by the way these vaccines are being rushed through without anybody really knowing what the consequences are going to be. My immediate reaction, as probably one of the old people he's talking about, is that's very kind of you, thank you very much, stuff your vaccine somewhere where I don't have to see it. I am terrified at the consequences of giving a relatively untested vaccine, I say relatively, being quite generous, I think, to huge numbers, millions and possibly billions of people, because a lot of the side effects that come out with vaccines aren't seen for a year, 5 years, 10 years. That's why it's normal for vaccines to be tested for a long time before they're put out to the public. And yet, the pork pies being told about vaccines at the moment. We aren't allowed to talk about vaccines, are we, of course? So we should call them something else, because officially it's all been banned. But the lies and deceit. I tell you what I saw the other day about vaccines, about the way that the BBC in particular is presenting vaccine problems. You know the problem in South Korea, which was a flu vaccine,
yeah,
not a 19 vaccine. I culled the top quotes from newspapers around the world about the problems they were having in South Korea. And it's worth just listening to them. I'll read them out, because then we get to the BBC headline and you just see the way the story's been influenced. Even The Guardian, which momentarily forgot its allegiance to Bill Gates, said, quote, doctors in South Korea call for flu vaccinations to be paused after 25 deaths. Reuters, the news agency, said South Korea presses on with flu vaccination programs amid concerns about deaths. The Straits Times said fears mount as South Korea probes cause behind 36 people's deaths after flu vaccination, close quotes. These are the headlines, numbers, by the way.
Vernon, hold that thought, my friend. The line is pretty abysmal. What I suggest we do is I ring off and give your mobile a bell. I'll do that, if that's all right. I know what's going on. This has happened before. I suspect what's going on.
The phone's fine, except when I try and talk to you.
Yeah.
Hang on a moment. I've just got to go and find the mobile. I'll switch this off.
Do. We've got plenty of time. I'll dig out the number and I'll give you a call on it now in a moment. Yeah. This doesn't happen when... This is a strange one, isn't it? You don't like to be making claims, you know, fanciful claims about interference. But when we've spoken in the past off-air, there's never an issue. But when we do a show, there is an issue. So what I'm going to do is get him on the mobile, right, which I do have. Right, in the meantime, I'm going to take a tune. It's a bizarre tune, but it's the only one in the playout system at the moment. So back with Dr. Vernon Coleman on a better line after this from the Happy Mondays, and it is Monday, so there you go. I suppose it worked. Right, let's get rid of happy Mondays. And Dr. Vernon Coleman is back in the room, and I hope the sound is better. I bet you it is.
It's much better, yeah. I'm holding it an inch or so away from my ear so I don't burn my brain too much.
Oh, of course, as well, yeah.
Can you hear me right?
You sound great. You sound much better, yeah. I was just saying, we've conversed off-air from your landline, and there was never a problem. And I don't like these presenters who try to big themselves up by claiming that there is deep state interference, because most of it is nonsense. But on your case, I have no doubt that there's something going on when you come on here. I have no doubt there is. But anyway, look,
it's been happening for years to me, and people who might find that a little difficult to understand might wonder why the latest book I wrote, which I'm going to mention only because it's now free, but in fact it was free before, but the latest book was banned after 2 days.
2 days.
Right? And the paperback sales were frozen at 666. You can check it out on Amazon. And it says there that the books were having a bit of problem or whatever. It's digitally printed. You can't run out. There you go. It's free on Smashwords. You can
frozen.
Only get an e-book.
Frozen
it's
at 666, you say. I mean, if that's not a message, right? That's a message, right?
What are the chances? Well, the chances are at least 666 to 1 against hitting that, aren't they? Can I carry on with these headlines?
That's right.
Before, amazing.
Yeah, before we got cut off, you were talking about the suspension. Well, Singapore has cancelled this vaccine, or suspended it after all of these mysterious deaths in South Korea. And you were just about to talk about the global media coverage of this very serious story. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's an enormously serious story, and it gets even more serious when you look at the way the BBC presented it. I went through, I think I've got as far as Straits Times. I've now got the New York Times headline, South Korea tries to quell anxiety over flu shots after 13 unexplained deaths. New York Times, that was. Al Jazeera said, spike in South Korea flu shot deaths fuels vaccine doubts. Wonderful headline, that.
Yeah.
And here's the BBC headline, quote, South Korea deaths not linked to flu vaccination drive. How in the name of everything greasy does the BBC know, when no one else in the world knows, how does the BBC know that the deaths are not linked to flu vaccination drive? I mean, really, they might try a bit harder.
That's sinister. There's so many things wrong with that. I don't know where to start.
Well, there's another one. The BBC also ran a story, I think, I can't remember, it was yesterday or the day before, and the headline was, COVID, the NHS workers still recovering as second wave looms. So the BBC has decided a second wave's looming. The NHS workers, they claim to have spoken to loads of nurses and doctors who were deeply apprehensive about what lay ahead. And they said they were all recovering from exhaustion and so on still, although the wards were quieter, of course, as you remember, 5 months ago, than they'd ever been. And the BBC said they used no real names of these people who were apprehensive in order to protect their anonymity. Can you imagine if I ran a story or you ran a story and we said we didn't use any real names, the BBC would laugh at us. They would sneer at us. We would be fake news. But the BBC gets away with it, of course, because guess who pays for some of the fact checkers? Don't need a lot of guessing, do you?
But no.
It's just obscene the way they're treating the public, and the way I get furious. Absolutely furious about the way people put up with all this garbage and believe that the crap that they're fed by the mainstream media and by the government. How much brain of people? Well, where's brains gone? I got some. I'm sorry, I'm taking over a bit.
No, it's
never
good.
Mind.
It's good.
Let me tell you this about. I've got some raw facts that prove once and for all that this is a hoax. If anybody's still doubting that it's a hoax, let me tell you some facts. First, we know, because the World Health Organization tells us it is so, that 650,000 people can die in a single flu season. That's a World Health Organization fact. Second, we know that the official flu season lasts from October to the end of April, and that's 7 months, if I've got enough fingers. If you divide 7 into 650,000, you get around 93,000 deaths per month from the ordinary, commoner garden, not very well marketed flu. Next figure. We know that according to the official figures, and this was a few hours ago, it's probably gone up by 5 million, but the official figures show that 1.14 million people have died of COVID-19 so far since last November, December. Now, everyone in the world except the World Health Organization, possibly Matt Hancock, knows that this is a wild exaggeration, but I'll accept their figure for now, just to keep them happy, and because if you follow the figures, this is amazing. With COVID-19, they're rolling the deaths up. They don't have a season like there is for flu. So we have to divide their 1.14 million by 11 months, and then you get a figure of just over 100,000. You compare that with the 93,000 deaths per month with the ordinary flu and 100,000 deaths per month, this is globally, with COVID-19. And that's before you take off the 94% that the Americans said had other comorbidities. That's before you take off all the patients in the UK who were just tested positive and therefore were given as COVID-19 deaths. You take all those. I mean, the fact of the matter is that even if you use their figures, it doesn't merit closing down the globe, especially when you look at the lockdown deaths. Because months ago, it was officially estimated that in the UK, there would be 150,000 to 200,000 extra deaths. The final figure in globally will be millions. And before anybody thinks that's an exaggeration, I can explain that as well. But that's so the worst possible scenario is that the COVID-19 deaths are 7,000 a month globally, more than the flu. And for that, we have closed the planet, closed hospitals, locked down everything, and also got all these lockdown deaths all around the world. It is lunacy.
But don't forget now.
Anybody,
don't forget the flu. Sorry to interrupt, Vernon. Don't forget the flu, as you said to me, one of the last times you were on, the flu is gone. There's even been newspaper coverage of this over the weekend, that the flu has disappeared. So even if those figures are, and I have no doubt they're right, because you're a meticulous researcher and analyst, so they are right, but that's not even taken into account the fact that they are saying that we're not seeing any, you know, evidence of flu, which means that many of these cases must be flu renamed.
Absolutely. I mean, it's happened all around the world. We talked about it in Australia.
Yeah.
It's happened all around the world. Gosh golly, there's been no flu cases this year. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
How wonderful that is. There's been no pneumonia cases this year. Everybody's getting COVID. Isn't that odd? I mean...
Yeah.
Hello, are you still there?
Oh, I'm there. I'm absolutely still here, yeah.
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 But, I mean, these figures seem to me to prove quite conclusively that there's absolutely no doubt that they're fiddling the whole caboodle. It's gone mad. And the insanity of it, the indecency of it. Do you know, you saw the other day, you saw the Whitty story, where
yeah.
Whitty was reported to have told people, told hospitals, and hospitals obeyed, told hospitals that people who were elderly, some say over 80, I don't know, but people who were elderly should be not put into intensive care beds, so that a lot of people died. Can you imagine the fuss, Ricky, if Whitty had denied treatment to gypsies, women, black people,
oh, yeah.
or Jews?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the fuss? There was a little bit of a fuss during the 1940s when the Germans did it. What the hell is the difference between killing old people because they're old people, or killing Jews, black people, women, whatever, because they're Jews, black people, women? That is outrageous that they were deliberately allowing people to die just because they were old people in a category. That's what used to be called ageism. And it's as illegal, as far as I know, as sexism and racism. And it absolutely astonished and appalled me, not because I'm an old bloke, but because old people are just as entitled to medical treatment as anybody else, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
I was absolutely disgusted. And if and when, not if, when we've won this battle, I want to see Whitty and all the doctors who obeyed these bizarre instructions in the courts. And meanwhile, why doesn't everybody write to the General Medical Council and complain about Whitty?
Here's the question for you. Here's the question for you. Because you and I have gone, I'd say several hours, I would say, bemoaning the conduct of the UK media. And yes, you're right, and you do a great job of it on An Old Man in a Chair, brandnewtube.com. But when do we accept that the media is only partly to blame? When do we start looking at people? Because I've begun, I'm going to admit this now, it's taken me a bit to admit this. I hate people now. I hate them. I see people, Vernon, now as scabs. I see them as scabs. I remember many moons ago when my family and hundreds of families were on strike pay in Waterford City, living on at subsistence level. And when some of the workers broke the picket line to take management jobs, you can only imagine the abuse they got. Now, whether that's right or wrong is up for debate. But I see people in that vein now. I see people in supermarkets shouting at their fellow human beings about wearing masks, that level of compliance and obedience. And I'm beginning, and I'm not a guy who normally hates anything or anybody. I'm a fairly genial guy. But I'm beginning to despise people. And I blame people more than I blame the media. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, I blame the medical profession to a large extent because they're all moaning and saying, oh, I might lose my job. Yeah. What the hell importance is that? This is life, death. You know, this is the whole Hippocratic Oath thing. This is just way beyond whether you pay your mortgage or buy a new BMW or whatever. This is so important. But yes, several months ago, I was moaning about people who wore masks, and I was describing them as collaborators.
Yeah.
And I have grown to loathe and despise people who wear masks and walk around with them. And I think they're not only, they've become mask wearing, they're like wasps in the autumn. They're becoming nastier and more aggressive, and they shout at people. And I get shouted at, and I know that everybody gets shouted at by these bloody mask wearers, and they're stupid. I've seen twice now people dropping their masks on the pavement, picking them up and putting them on. I mean, what lunacy. I've got a big piece on the website about 40 different sets of research showing that mask wearing is bad for you psychologically and it's really bad for you physically. And people say, I tell you what really pisses me off is people say, oh, well, surgeons wear them in the operating theatre, yeah, so they must be all right. A lot of surgeons don't wear masks because the evidence has shown that they don't need to. B, surgeons in an operating theatre are in a controlled climate. C, they're not walking about. D, they change their masks every 4 hours. Nobody wears a mask more than 4 hours because after that, the mask is so contaminated that it's dangerous. And five, they don't touch any part of the mask except the loops for the ears and maybe the bridge where there's a little plastic thing, a metal thing that you clip on. They don't stuff masks in their pockets or their handbags. The evidence showing that masks cause hypoxia and cause hypercapnia, too much carbon dioxide, not enough oxygen. They cause headaches. They cause all sorts of bad things. And the people who start saying that, oh, masks are perfectly safe, it's nonsense to say that they're dangerous, they haven't looked at the research. The research is out there. There's hundreds of papers showing just how bad masks are to wear, especially when you wear them all day long. And I tell you this, Richie, it won't be long before they're making people wear them out of doors, and they will be doing it, and then they'll be making them wear them indoors, because we were talking about that vaccine from AstraZeneca, and we've discussed before why AstraZeneca is not in my top 1,000 companies in the world that I want to be, you know, or one not in my top million companies with GSK, the Valence company. The vaccines, they are going to say to us before very long, they are going to say, well, the vaccines are wonderful, but they're not going to completely eradicate the problem. So we've got to continue social distancing, and we've got to carry on wearing masks, and we've got to continue to have lockdowns occasionally. And incidentally, we have masks because the World Health Organization, Goldman Sachs, and a funny little group of people at Davos say we have to have masks. But the World Health Organization has said we shouldn't have lockdowns. So why are we having lockdowns when the World Health Organization says they're not a good idea? And did you see the figures from Africa? You know, Ferguson's figures went to the United Nations, and the United Nations passed them on to all the African countries, and all the African countries duly followed. This is why I can say that millions of people are going to die because of the lockdowns. The African countries all adopted the United Nations regulations, which came from Imperial College, I believe, and they all had lockdowns. And there is a result of that, the chaos that's going on in Africa is terrifying. There are they haven't been investigating TB, which is one of the much bigger killer than COVID would ever be. They're not dealing with malaria. They've got a lot of starvation, which is rocketing. They've got infant mortality figures are appalling. The whole of Africa is in a terrible mess, apart from one country, which is Malawi. And Malawi didn't take any notice of the Imperial College modelling. The United Nations said that there would be 1.2 billion cases and 3.3 million deaths from COVID in Africa. 1.2 billion cases and 3.3 million deaths from COVID in Africa. That was the advice that was given to the United Nations. You can tell where it's from.
Yeah.
And Malawi was the one country which didn't impose strict lockdowns, even though the prediction was that if they didn't, they would have 50,000 deaths. They didn't have lockdowns. They got a population of 19 million, and there were 176 COVID deaths, 176.
Let me go back to what you said a minute ago, because it's important. And I share this concern. Dr. Vernon Coleman is with us, vernoncoleman.com. And what Vernon said a moment ago was very interesting. This idea that when the vaccine comes out, or vaccines, because they've been at pains over the last couple of weeks to tell us that it will probably need 2 or 3 vaccines per person, 2 minimum anyway. But Vernon believes that when the vaccine arrives, it will not signal necessarily the end of this lunacy. And I share that view, because I've heard 1 or 2 MPs, and I've heard 1 or 2 doctors on BBC television in recent days saying that the vaccine might not be, when it does arrive, might not be the holy grail that everybody is looking for. We might still end up living with some of these measures for a long, long time to come. And that's, you know, that it's at that point that maybe you hope that people will say, oh, come on now, you know, we're being kidded here, we're being conned here. At that point, when the vaccine arrives and they still tell people to wear masks, they still tell people they can't open their businesses when they want, maybe that'll be some sort of watershed moment. I don't know, Vernon.
Well, I sincerely hope so. I don't understand the stupidity of people. I mean, you see people in magazines and newspapers and they're saying, oh, isn't this terrible? We must do what the government tells us in order to save us against this terrible plague. A plague is something like the Black Plague of the 14th century. Rats, fleas, you know, and a huge percentage, I can't remember what it was, I think it was something like 25% of the entire population died. And the plague later on. Those are plagues. This isn't a plague. I mean, the figures that even by their figures have just proved. I mean, those were their figures I quoted. Even by their figures, COVID-19 is only marginally worse than the flu, not counting all the deaths from the lockdowns that have been caused by the COVID-19 overreaction. So, and if you take away all the fake COVID-19 deaths, where they've said, you know, a few weeks ago they were allowed, or they introduced this thing where they allowed doctors, if they suspect that somebody's got died of COVID. I did a video in which I said, well, I think six of the dwarfs died of COVID, and Sneezy had it twice because I'm a doctor, therefore I suspect, therefore it's true. I mean, it's madness. You couldn't make it up. You could not make up the lunacy that people are accepting. And Ferguson is back on the BBC again the other day. I heard, I didn't hear him. I was told Ferguson was on the BBC telling us that we might have to close schools.
Yeah.
And people were listening to him. People were, I mean, you go back and look at Ferguson's history for the last God knows how many years. I'm sorry, I don't like blaspheming. For the last heaven knows how many years, I've done it again, for the past Hancock knows how many years,
yeah.
You go back and you look at Ferguson's record, whether it's foot and mouth disease or the other flus, to be polite, he got it wrong. He got it wrong. He got it wrong. I mean, it just, and now he's got this one so badly wrong. And they keep saying, oh, yes, well, if we hadn't had the lockdowns, it would have been worse. Well, actually, the lockdowns made it worse, yeah. You idiot. If you look at the figures, it wasn't by chance that I got in. I destroyed whatever small reputation I had in March by saying, looking at the figures and saying, this is not a big problem. Look at the figures. But they didn't look at the figures. They looked at the mathematical modelling. I've been around as a doctor and a writer on medical matters for so long now that I've got very sceptical when people make statements about stuff, and I want to look at the basic statistics, the basic figures, and where they draw them from. I was by no means the only person. Quite a few of us way back then said, hey, hang on a minute, how can this possibly be going to cause this much trouble that we have to shut everything down? But no, they all listened to Ferguson and Imperial College, and they're still listening.
Still doing.
And they still won't have people on who've been right all along.
It's worse than that.
But it's true. You know, you go back through my videos and the pieces on my website. It's all there. I haven't changed anything. It's all there. Sometimes I was a bit early, sometimes whatever, but the facts were all right. The predictions were all right. And yet I'm banned and Ferguson is still being interviewed constantly by mainstream media. What else does that tell you? There's two things which tell you, apart from the facts which I recited earlier, there's two things which should tell everyone that this is an absolute fraud. The first is that it's happening globally. Everything that's being done badly is global. Whatever they do in one country, they do in another country. When they shunted people into old people's homes and paid the old people's homes, the care homes, an extra fee. Here's another £1,000 because this patient we're dumping on you's got COVID-19. And, I mean, would they do that with the flu? No, of course they wouldn't. But they did it in almost every country in the world. We're supposed to believe they made the same mistake in every country in the world. Come on. No, you can't. You can say that there was a loony here or a loony there, but a loony everywhere? And secondly, it's the fact that they have banned everybody. Doctors who speak out get threatened with being struck off. People, nurses get threatened with being struck off. We both know that it's actually happened. This is an appalling way to treat doctors. In history, you can go back and I mean, doctors have got into terrible trouble for telling the truth, but they've never been vilified the way they are now. Well, okay, Ignaz Semmelweis didn't have a very good time with puerperal fever because people, he got terribly upset about that. But I don't think at any time in history ever have doctors as an entire breed, if you like, been prevented from arguing, discussing, debating the truth. Because it doesn't fit an agenda. And when that in that first video I made in March, I said that there were three things that we're going to try and do, I believed. And the reason for it all was three things. One, they wanted to kill old people, right?
Yeah, you said
second,
that.
Second, they wanted to introduce vaccines, either mandatory or virtually mandatory, right? And the third thing, they wanted to get rid of cash. That was in March. That's what I said they were planning. That's what I thought was the only reason for the scheme that was going ahead of, oh, this is terrible. And don't forget, in March, I think it was March the 21st, but the things on my website, you can just press it and you can see the government on March the 21st or whenever it was, the official committee which advised the government said, hang on, lads, this COVID, this coronavirus is not that bad. It's just like the flu. We'll downgrade it. You don't have to do anything exciting. That was the British government was told that in March. 3 days later, they introduced an emergency bill that was 360-odd pages long, which they'd obviously got in a drawer for 2 years or more, because they don't write one of those in a day. They produced that. We lost all our freedom. Voting rights disappeared, and we lost everything. We lost freedom. We lost freedom of speech. There were lockdowns, threats, heaven knows what, and all these laws about social distancing. They're using speed and car cameras now. They've turned them onto the pavement so that they can check whether people are social distancing properly. You can't make it up, Ricky. You can't make it up. It's just so appalling.
It's happening.
The way that they've changed every aspect of our lives just in order to maintain what is the greatest myth in human history, the greatest hoax in human history. And how people can't see it is beyond me. And like you, I loathe the collaborators, the people who wear the masks and then moan at people who don't wear the masks, the people who smugly sneer and say, oh, well, you haven't got a mask on, you can't come in. I got somebody tried to throw me out the other day. Oh, I had one wonderful experience. I went to a cafe without a mask, and one of the other customers looked at me and said, you've got to put a mask on. And the barista, the guy behind the counter, looked at this guy, and then said, this gentleman, pointing at me, this gentleman doesn't have to wear a mask. That was the closest I've ever been to jumping over a counter and kissing a bloke. That was what a joyful moment. And the guy who was standing in front of me with his mask on, he was totally confused. The world is so full now of skeptics, of these mask wearing idiots.
I'm getting a bit of stick for saying that I hate these people. I've got to clarify something. I am not somebody who believes in violence as a means of solving conflict or resolving problems. I don't endorse violence. I would never be violent to any one of these people, ever. I ignore these people, but I seethe, I simmer, I boil, I absolutely hate it. Dr. Vernon Coleman is our guest. Listen, there are some people asking me on Twitter, Richie, you challenged nearly all the rest of your guests. Why are you giving Coleman an easy ride on the downgrading? I'm not going to argue with Dr. Vernon Coleman on the downgrading because he's fecking well telling the truth. They downgraded COVID from a high consequence infectious disease back in March. They acknowledged it wasn't serious, and then within a couple of days, full-scale lockdown. Now, Dr. Vernon Coleman doesn't know for a fact why they changed their mind in 3 days. I don't, but I think we're allowed to speculate as to why they did an about-turn in 72 hours, Vernon. Somebody made a phone call somewhere, I would guess.
It took them 2 days to put on the website that the committee had advised this. And can you imagine the pressure that was on the members of that committee not to make that decision? These were all bacteriologists, virologists, people who specialize in bugs. And they were the ones who advised the government. And for people who don't believe that I'm telling the truth, go to my website, press the little, there's a little thing, hang on, I'll try and find it.
Go to VernonColeman.com, and on the left-hand side, there's a menu.
You go to the bit that says health.
Health, yeah.
And then you go to the bit that says Oh, God, I can't find it. Here's the proof that COVID-19, go down about 10 bits on the health news, and you press a button, or not a button, a highlighted thing that says, here's the proof that COVID-19 was downgraded in March. And if I press that, it should go...
straight to the government website. Straight to
government website.
Yeah.
And there you are. I've done it. It brings it up. Guidance, high consequence, infectious diseases. As of 19th of March, COVID-19 is no longer considered to be a high consequence infectious disease in the UK. The four nations, that's England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, Public Health HCID Group made an interim recommendation that in January 2020 to classify COVID-19 as an HCID, and then they changed their minds. I mean, it's all there. It's on the government website. I don't control the government website, unfortunately. So there you go. You can't argue with that.
No, it's a fact. It's a fact.
Something else just came into mind. I have to tell you before I forget this. This is wonderful. Did you see that in Ireland, Republic of Ireland, home country, Richie, in the Republic of Ireland, a particular hand sanitizer has been banned because it causes all sorts of nasty diseases. The NHS is using it.
I did not know that. This is news to me. Go on. Wow. A sanitizer. A hand sanitizer has been banned in Ireland because it will have an impact on people's health because it's dangerous, effectively, and they're still using it here.
Dangerous.
Go on.
There's 174, I think, the 174. It's something like that. Hand sanitizers. There's a piece on my website about hand sanitizers. It's amazing. The FDA has banned about 170 or thereabouts hand sanitizers because they cause a variety of health problems. Lots of them are just wood alcohol and they're dangerous. They can really be bad for you. And you see people go into shop after shop after shop, and the idiot shopkeeper says, have you used the hand sanitizer? You can't come in unless you've used the hand sanitizer. And when they say that, I sometimes say, is this one of the hand sanitizers been approved by the FDA? And they look at you as if you're barking. A lot of hand sanitizers can be very dangerous. Not just a bit dangerous, very dangerous. And people have been made quite ill by them. So you have to watch out and make sure you're not using one of the 174. And sadly, the NHS appears to be using one that the Republic of Ireland has said is unsafe.
Here's a question. Here's a question for you on that. If I forget to ask you this, I'll kick myself later on. It's going off topic just slightly. But is it true, have you seen evidence over the years that sunblock, sunscreen, is potentially more carcinogenic than actually being exposed to the sun itself? Because I had somebody on the programme years ago trying to convince me of that. Sunscreen, sunblock, is actually more dangerous than the sun itself.
Well, it depends. There are so many different types and there are so many different strengths. We'd be here all day, innit? Generally speaking, probably not, but it depends which you use and it depends how long and how much and what sort and what make. So I'm sorry to be a bit vague, but I can't give you a yes or no answer. And to the people who want you to be tougher, I have no problem with being, as you know, I have no problem with being people being tough with me and questioning the stuff that I'm saying. In fact, I'd much rather people were, because then you can get the facts in and say to people, go and have a look at this, go and have a look at that, because I don't make stuff up. There are lots of people who do make stuff up, and they're mostly on the other side, I'm afraid.
Look, there's a good reason. There's a good reason why I'm not giving you a kick in any of the days that you come on, and there's a good reason. The reason is because much of what Vernon has been saying for months before anybody else was saying this stuff, they're now talking about this openly on talk radio. Let's give them some bloody credit. They can be a bit smug talk radio, and one or two of the presenters can be a bit silly, but they're now talking about this stuff. I've read opinion pieces in the Sunday Telegraph in the last 2-3 weeks and the Daily Telegraph that are openly talking about what Vernon is talking about with us today. And this is a source of great frustration to me, because now the mainstream media is talking about this stuff, expressing bewilderment as to why a disease, which isn't a disease, which kills the average age of somebody dying with it, not of it, but with it, is 82, that 99.98% of people will survive it. Finally, the media are screaming, what's going on? But it doesn't seem to be making any difference. Hancock and Johnson just bluster on. You know, Vernon, today, Warrington has gone into Tier 3. They're talking about other, Nottingham, they're talking about at the weekend going into Tier 3. Businesses will have to close again. So even the mainstream media is finally accepting, even if they won't invite you on, that what you are saying is true, but it's not making any difference.
No, even the top police officers and the people who are responsible for putting the laws into action, they don't know. Did you see those reported talking to the Commons Committee, and they got terribly confused about what people couldn't do? I'm not surprised. How many tiers are there in Scotland? Five. And now we're going to have four in England because we're trying to catch up with Scotland. And Christmas has been cancelled in Scotland because it's got to be a digital Christmas, whatever a digital Christmas is. And it was always predictable that they didn't want us to have Christmas because of Chrislam. And everybody should know about Chrislam, because Chrislam is a new world religion which will go with a new world government. And I can hear people saying, oh, Coleman's making this up. Ha ha. Do you put in to your favorite search engine, preferably not Google, but you put into your favorite search engine Chrislam and Pope, or you put in Chrislam and Tony Blair, and you'll find out what Chrislam is. And it's pretty obvious what it is, but it's the new world religion. Chrislam Day is March the 14th. The Pope supports it. It's a world religion that will replace all other religions so that it will fit neatly with a world government. And if you don't believe in a world government, why are they trying to plan a world religion? And you just look, Tony Blair's got a foundation, or maybe even more than one, he's got a foundation, the Chrislam or something foundation. Put in Chrislam and Tony Blair. Put in Chrislam and the Pope, because the Pope is an enthusiastic supporter of Chrislam. It's astonishing. People have no idea what's going on and what's happening in the future.
Chrislam.
And it's about time the mainstream media started doing a bit of digging, because instead of just repeating the press releases they get from the government.
Do you know what? Chrislam sounds absolutely ridiculous to me. I am going to look it up. But because you're telling me, I'm not going to ridicule you. If you're saying you've read it, it's obviously there. So I'll have a look at this, and we might talk about this in the near future. I want to give you a giggle. I think it's about time you had a laugh today. Dr. Vernon Coleman is our guest. VernonColeman.com, BrandNewTube.com. I have tweeted a link, by the way, to Vernon's book, which is free, which is a remarkable thing. I've put it on Twitter and on Facebook. Chrislam, you've got me thinking now. I'll look into this later on. Not that I doubt you, my friend. Here's a giggle for you. Speaking of Christmas in Scotland, you've probably heard this, but I just can't resist playing it again because it's belly laugh stuff.
And firstly, on Santa, I'm pretty sure if there are any kids watching, I know Santa, it will not be prevented from delivering your presents on Christmas Eve. Santa is a key worker and he's got lots of magic powers that make him safe to do that. So if he's having to do grotto appearances by Zoom, that's to keep you safe. It's not that Santa's at any risk. Santa will be delivering presents across the world as normal.
That is a mentally challenged Oompa Loompa addressing the Scottish people and telling them that Santa's got magic powers, and if he has to do grotto visits by Zoom, don't worry about it. It's for your protection, kids. This is where we are, Vernon.
Was that a mimic, or was that...
That was Sturgeon. That was Sturgeon.
That was real, was it?
That was real.
Unbelievable. I laughed out loud when... I can't believe that.
It's a fact.
She's certifiable. They're all certifiable. I tell you what, I did in an attempt to try and make people smile, I did a trailer on YouTube today for a new video on Brand YouTube. I did a trailer, might make you laugh. It's called Vernon Coleman Juggles Brackets Badly Brackets.
Right.
Because the only thing you can do on YouTube these days is juggle or throw cream pies at each other, because they've now banned anything referring to vaccines. So any video that's got vaccine in it, I got around that very early on because every time I wanted to say the word vaccine, I said, I forgot what it was now. I said something else and held up a piece of paper saying vaccine. And they, because the 77th Brigade weren't actually watching them, they were just using some sort of transcription service, I suppose. They didn't actually get the words.
Right.
But now they're taking virtually everything down now. It's bizarre, the censorship that's going on. And I do think that when this is all comes to an end and we've won this battle, although when we've won this battle, the baddies will still be there and we can't forget. But when we've won it, an awful lot of people in the media are going to be left wondering where all their readers went, because the newspapers are never going to recover from this. I don't mean because people haven't been buying them because they can't get to the shops and the lockdowns. They're never going to recover because people won't forgive them. People will remember this. This is the biggest scam in human history. It's the biggest fraud, the biggest hoax, the biggest medical disaster. The number of deaths... heart attacks, the number of heart attacks that were being diagnosed was down 40% because people either thought the hospitals were shut, and incidentally some hospital departments are still shut, and anyone who says they're not hasn't been investigating because they are still shut. I know that. Some hospital departments are still shut. People didn't go to hospital because they thought the hospital wasn't going to take them, or because they were frightened that they were going to get the plague and die. And so a lot of people didn't go, weren't diagnosed. The death rates from heart disease, cancer, and everything else is going to rocket. Suicides are enormously, terrifyingly high. Alcoholism is already twice as high as it was a few months ago. The number of people, and you think, are they they're shutting the pubs or stopping people going to the pubs by making it so unpleasant? But they're still allowing people to buy as much alcohol as they like in the supermarkets. I don't know, are they allowing that in Wales? Probably. You can't buy socks or toasters, but you can buy booze. The booze that people are getting through is far more. We've talked about this as well. People are drinking far more than they were. And inevitably, there's going to be a lot of alcoholism. There's going to be a lot of brain disease. There's going to be a lot of
liver disease,
all the diseases
obviously
caused by alcohol.
Yeah.
And you have to think, is that what they want?
Let me pull you back because on something there now, my friend. Let me pull you back. I do like when you present an opportunity for me to have a shot from the edge of the box. You said something
okay
there that I should have challenged. You said to me, Richie, they're claiming that all the hospitals are open for business now, but you claim that you have evidence to the contrary, that people still can't get the treatment. I have to pick you up on that. How do you know that? Is that because contacts that you have within the medical profession, or is it a hunch? Do you know it for a fact that people can't get treatment outside of COVID?
I know it for a fact.
How?
I know it for... I will put my reputation on the line. I know it for a fact. I'm not going to tell you why, because it's personal, but I know it for a fact that some hospital departments are still shut, and you can't get some types of treatment in the National Health Service, and that is a plain and unvarnished fact. And if I had to go into court, I would write it on a piece of paper and give it to the judge,
right,
because you just can't argue with it. I know.
Fair enough. All right. Well,
you'll have to take my word for it, because I'm not going to tell you how I know, because it's confidential. But if I had to go to court, I would be very happy. If somebody said, I'm going to sue Vernon Coleman for saying some hospital departments are shut, bring it on, because I can tell you
can prove it.
I can defend myself.
Well, asked and answered. My listeners can make of that what they will. Thanks for that, Vernon. VernonColeman.com. Yeah, look, I get a lot of emails, as you do. I would probably get on average...
I don't get a lot anymore. I shut off all my email.
You shut off the email that you were getting so many. Well, I get an average around... Go on, finish that sentence. That was...
No, I was getting so much from my website email, I had to close it because I just couldn't cope. It was either deal brusquely with a tenth of the emails and not do anything else like sleep, or give up. And I'm afraid I gave up. I feel awful about it because it's the first time I've ever done it.
But people should use their common sense. People should use their common sense. This radio program gets on average about 1,200 to 1,500 emails a week. Now, people should understand that when a guy works on his own and you work on your own, you're not going to read all of those, let alone respond to all of them. It's just impossible. It's not rudeness. You just can't do that. But I do see a few of them, and I do get emails from people telling me that. As you said, I had an email from a guy who said he will come on the programme next time I open the phone lines. He said, Richie, I had a heart attack at home, and I was only told a few days later by my doctor that I had a heart attack. And he said, I didn't go in because I was listening to the fear porn on the radio and on the television. I didn't go in to accident and emergency. I thought I'd be in trouble, or I thought I'd be taking a bed away from somebody who needed it. He said, I didn't realise I was having a heart attack, but I was terribly unwell and at home. And I read something in the Sunday Times about people having heart attacks at home and just getting on with it because of COVID.
Yeah.
Madness.
Well, the funny thing is, of course, that there has been for years evidence that some people will do better if they have a heart attack. And I'm not for a second suggesting that people do this. But there was evidence that ITUs are so stressful, intensive coronary care units are so stressful that people may survive, have a better chance of survival if they stay at home and have treatment. But that was in the days when GPs used to go out and see people at home. And I'm not for a second suggesting that people now don't go to hospital or go to find a GP, because they should, because things have changed since this research was done. And I mean, when I was a little lad, when I was a GP, we used to provide a service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And if people had... were ill and stayed at home, then we went and saw them and visited. And people don't do that anymore. GPs work library hours. Actually, they work less than library hours because they're shut at lunchtime, and a lot of libraries are open at lunchtime. And I find that so sad, because medicine's not a profession that you can practice like that. You need to be available all the time. People don't do home visits, and you learn a lot about patients when you do home visits. You learn an awful lot about them and their illness and how they're going to be best treated, but all that's gone, and I'm just an old fart.
No, you're not an old fart. You're not an old fart. You're an old school doctor. My family doctor is very senior. She's older than you, and she mirrors you, your ethical approach, your attitude, your love of people, your decency. Let me read you a couple of tweets, and I'm not kissing your arse, I mean that. Charlie says, Richie, I've been waiting for a colonoscopy for over 3 months. I now have to arrange an appointment, but need to have a PCR test first. Decision is simple. Take the test, which is pish, says Charlie, or refuse and die of cancer. That's Charlie. Hold that thought, Vern. I know you want to come in on that. Let me read another one or two. Because William says, Richie, my son is a cancer survivor, and he still gets scans. The hospital phoned me the other day to tell us we need to be bang on time to be met at the door because they are now operating a closed door policy. I shit you not. These are tweets that are coming in, and they are coming in thick and fast, Vernon.
I mean, what can you say? I mean, I've heard this about people being tested. Don't hospitals know that the test that's being done, the one where they stick an elongated cotton bud up your nose and risk killing you, because I've written about damage that's been done because people have had cerebrospinal fluid dripping down their nose. And again, that's not an exaggeration, that's true. So there are risks with these tests. They're so unreliable that you might as well get the BBC to do it. They're totally unreliable. They produce more false positives by a factor of, I don't know, a huge number. They produce more false positives than real positives. There is actually a saliva test which they could do. I don't know how reliable that is, but why aren't they doing the saliva test? Why are they still stuffing things, very often by people who aren't doctors or nurses, stuffing things way up people's noses? Mm. The brain's just up there. And as I said, there's two people who, the two cases I'm aware of, and I haven't studied the literature looking for it. I'm just aware that there's two people who've had problems. One person who had and one person who had a tracheotomy. They shoved the thing and it went down the tracheotomy into their lungs. God knows what happened. Sorry, I've done it again. I don't know what happened to them. But the one that went up into a woman's into a woman's brain, and she had cerebral spine. She went to afterwards. She said, "Look, I've got this stuff coming down my nose." It was cerebral spinal fluid.
Oh,
neurosurgeons have said, you know, these are very delicate things. They should be done by people who are trained, and they should be observed afterwards. Well, I've seen pictures of people having it done in a car park, passing through.
Oh, that reminds me. Oh, thank heavens! I shouldn't blaspheme, but you can say thank heavens that you brought this up, because when this began, one of the things we were promised by the government, we were promised that if local authorities invited the military to come and help, it would be to help with things like logistical things, like getting things from one place to another, transport and stuff like that. Well, no, we learned over the weekend that the military will be invited in the Northwest to help with enforcement. And if that's not bad enough, the Dido Harding woman, who's being blamed for the failure to roll out the test and trace system properly, the app, which if you download it, you've got to be the stupidest human being that ever lived, where you download an app and you let the government follow you and tell you that you met somebody with COVID and all that garbage. So Dido Harding is apparently made of balls of this. So they want her gone and they want her replaced with a military person. All of this stuff you talked about, not just in March, but I've been looking into your background now since we first met. You've been talking about this stuff going back years. The military policing on the streets of the UK to make sure that we don't have more than six people in the house, or that we're not having a Barbie, or that we're not going into a shop without a mask on. I mean, it's tyranny, Vernon. I'm not trying to be sensational. It's tyranny, this.
It is. And it's all part of the Agenda 21, is to get the militia onto the streets. And you have to, when you look at Ferguson and his past record, and you think, why did they pick someone with such a bad past record? And then you look at Dido Harding and you think, gosh, oh, she was talk. Oh, yes, wasn't that a little bit of a problem they had there?
Yeah.
And you think, why, where are they picking these people? And then you look at Hancock and you think, There's something in common that these people have. What is it? Why is it that all these people, Ferguson made all these mess-ups over the years, and you wouldn't say that Matt Hancock was the most brilliant person on the world, would you? And then you look at Dido Harding's record, and you think, well, why do they pick all these people? What's going on? This is supposed to be the biggest crisis in our lives, and we've got these people who are making all the decisions. Are they the right people to be making the decisions, or are they the right people to be making the decisions?
By the way, when you
scary,
said...
Scary times.
When you said talk, Harding, just in case our listeners don't know, when she was CEO of Talk, she was that good at minding and looking after people's data that a teenage boy was able to hack in to its customer base and get all the details that he wanted. So they gave that Muppet, and I'm sorry to be referring to a woman as a Muppet, but they gave that Muppet, who couldn't manage her own business, the running of the test and trace system, where you're supposed to believe that your data will be kept safe. But they only admitted last week that they're giving the data to the police anyway. So if you're stupid enough to download the NHS app and turn your Bluetooth on, they're giving that data to the police so that the police can go and knock on your door and say, hey, Dr. Coleman, you're supposed to stay indoors for the next 2 weeks. Don't let us see you on the streets. This is tyrannic. I can't believe we're living through these times. And that's why I hate the... You gave them a great name. The Collaborators.
Yeah.
Collaborators.
Did you see, by the way, if you didn't, you'll love this. Did you see that, you know, the quarantine for people travelling in and out of the country?
Yeah.
Did you see that... Some people are going to be excluded from the quarantine rules. They don't have to obey the quarantine rules.
The good old boys. I did the good old boys, the city boys.
The city boys, the hedge fund managers and the city dealers. They don't have to bother with quarantine because they're not like us. They can't catch or carry any viruses. They're very special people. Oh, boy, that was a bit obvious, wasn't it? That's a bit obvious, Agenda 21. People say, might think, well, why are you talking about this Agenda 21? It's all there, Club of Rome. You just have to look back at the United Nations, how it's developed, and how the whole thing has been worked up for decades. And they first started off with the global warming, which was brought in deliberately because it was a way to make us all feel guilty about the world. Well, I'm not making this up. This is, you can find this. Just look up Club of Rome and global warming. I can never remember what they're supposed to call it. Global warming, climate change, it changes by the week.
Yeah.
Maybe Prince Charles makes it up when he's not actually flying anywhere to save us all from global warming.
Well, didn't they drop global warming when they embarrassingly had to acknowledge that the planet wasn't really warming? So they changed it to climate change.
Got back to climate, global cooling, and then they decided that wasn't any good, so it was climate change. And then they brought in, my two favourite bits of all this are biofuels and biomass, because biofuels meant using all the stuff that was food to drive motor cars, which meant that millions more people died of starvation, which was very nice, but, you know, what do they care? And then there's biomass, which is my favourite of all, because they banned log burners and trying to stop people using logs on their open fires. And I wouldn't survive without logs on my open fire because it's sort of glorious. But they tried to ban all those nasty old-fashioned things because they don't want them, and they want everybody to live in little flats. They stopped that, and they're going to bring biomass in because they've got all these big electricity generators which don't use nasty fossil fuels. They use biomass.
Yeah.
And, of course, biomass is bits of trees from America which are chopped down, chopped up into tiny bits, put into ships and brought across from America to the UK and then burnt to create electricity. And that's supposed to be better for us than burning fossil fuels.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. I mean, anybody who believes that biomass is an answer to anything is so idiotic. They shouldn't be allowed out of their bedroom without adult supervision. It's
immediate
lunacy.
Vasectomy. Immediate vasectomy. When you start believing in stuff like that, you should not pollute the gene pool any further than you already have. Have this nip, do humanity a favour. I sound like a Nazi now, and I'm not a Nazi. While you're on this, and by the way, folks, it's 26 minutes to 7. You're with the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford, here in the Northwest, where it's pretty grim weather-wise. The great Dr. Vernon Coleman is on the programme, vernoncoleman.com and brandnewtube.com. Look for Vernon Coleman. I think Vernon mentioned about 25 minutes ago there's a trailer there for a forthcoming episode, which is good news.
The trailer's on YouTube.
Oh, it's on YouTube.
Dear old YouTube, I'm not allowed to put anything on there, so I put a little trailer on there. Which goes direct. There's one of those magic things that you press underneath. I don't know, the description box, I think they call it, and you press the thing, and it takes you straight to brand new tube. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's science. I don't understand.
Yeah. Neither do I.
I've got, but this phone that I'm talking to you on is grade two. What do they call them? But this is 2G at best. It may be 1G. The idea of getting an app on this. People send me emails on it sometime, and they have no idea. A bit earlier on, I mentioned the Club of Rome. I just found a piece of paper on my desk. It was in 1991. The Club of Rome announced that since, and I quote, since humans are very often best motivated by an enemy of some kind, they would need a global enemy, and they chose global warming, to which they allied food shortages and water shortages, 1991, and the food shortages and water shortages are coming.
Now, on that, because that's where I was going, right? On that Club of Rome book is real, by the way. Rockefeller Roundtable organization. You need to know about these think tanks. It's think tanks, really, not politicians, driving these policies.
Well, a report from the Iron Mountain, that one is
amazing, huh?
Scary.
Yeah, scary stuff. So one of the things we keep hearing all the time now is build back better and the great reset. Build back better. And it's become apparent to me, not because I want to believe this, but because I've exhausted all the other possibilities and I've ruled them out. By Build Back Better, they plan to transform the way we live in order to, as they will increasingly say, to offset the problems caused by climate change or global warming. So you talk there about this horrible product imported from America to burn. All of these things, these all make up what they're calling Build Back Better. So they've used COVID to destroy the way we live, the way we accepted, the way that we would expect to live. COVID has destroyed that. It's basically been a big nuclear bomb, and they want to rebuild out of that this fairly sinister world. Build Back Better. You know, every time I turn on Sky News or the BBC, I hear Build Back Better. But I don't think it will be better somehow.
Sorry, I lost you for a second.
Oh, sorry. I don't think it will be better. The Build Back Better they're talking about won't be better at all. It'll be worse.
Good heavens, no! It will be foul. We will be slaves. That's the whole point. They want to turn us. People won't believe this, but they want to turn us into slaves. You have to read the stuff. I've been reading stuff hour after hour after hour from books and papers that I've got, and you go back years, and the plans are so utterly scary. The plans to change everything about the way we live. And when Boris Johnson said the other day that he wanted 30% of Britain to be rewilded, that wasn't just something out of his head.
Yeah.
That's an Agenda 21 United Nations instruction. When you look at smart motorways, they came from the EU. The EU is part of an Agenda 21 plan, although it has, you can take it back to German ambitions after the war, but the EU has been used as part of the United Nations plan in order to get us used to regionalization, so that because we have to get rid of our nations, they want to get rid of individual nations. And that was part of the plan of the European Union, of course, because Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland were allowed to remain as regions within the EU, but England was divided into a lot of regions, one of which included part of France, to try to make sure that historically England didn't exist. And actually, England no longer exists as a country. You can check that out. Look up England in the Encyclopaedia Britannica. We no longer exist because all these bits of the European Union, it was decided that they could break up the nationalities easier by having a European Union, because then people were all with folk that they thought were similar to them. And there's a plan to have a group of Asian countries and then a group of American countries forming into bodies like the European Union. And then all these bodies will be bunged together into one big body with a world government. And the world government runs through all of this. The world government, which is planned by the United Nations, the United Nations, most people think, and I confess I used to think some time ago of the United Nations as being this organization which just has this peacekeeping force. The United Nations has plans to have the world army, and there are going to be no wars. They will just use the world army for peacekeeping. There'll be no wars because there'll be no countries. And if you don't have any countries, then there can't be any wars. That's the theory. The only wars will be resistance fighters who don't approve of a world government.
Yeah.
And guess who's going to be members of that resistance movement? That's what they want a United Nations army for. And as I said, CHRISLAM, look it up, CHRISLAM. You look up CHRISLAM and you find out, good heavens above.
I have looked it up now.
May the 14th, CHRISLAM Day.
I've looked it up because amongst my many talents, I don't have too many talents, one of the things I do well is I multitask. So I knew this would be controversial. So I've looked up CHRISLAM while not missing a single word that you've said to me. No, I haven't, honestly. No, I've been listening to you intently.
No, I believe you.
CHRISLAM, the stated aim of CHRISLAM is to promote dialogue between the religions of Christianity and Islam. And I, as best as I could now, because we're obviously live, and I do want to be the devil's advocate where it's necessary that I be the devil's advocate. Chris Lamb, whatever it is, claims to basically be that. It has acknowledged there are conspiracy theories out there about merging religions, but it denies that's the case and says that it's basically a committee for open dialogue between the religions of Christianity and Islam. That's what they say. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, Vernon Coleman.
Yes, well, as a lady said during the Profumo trial, they would say that, wouldn't they? Yes, I know that's what they say, but when you look more deeply into it and you look at the background to it, it's the beginning. It's not just a little group of people having a nice chat about let's all be friends together. This is a plan for a world religion. It's funny, isn't it, how everything when you question anything, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
I put it the other way round. I think that they are the conspiracy practitioners. And we aren't conspiracy theorists at all, because we don't have a conspiracy. We're just fighting the conspiracy, which is being set up by a whole cabal of people, United Nations and heaven knows who else. And I actually believe that I can argue now that our governments are the terrorists, because our governments are terrifying us by giving us deceitful, fake information, and by using force. Militia on the street.
I agree.
They're using force and they're using fake information and they're terrorizing us. And that's what terrorism is. Everything is turned upside down. Conspiracies are no longer conspiracies. Conspiracies are people trying to defend themselves, trying to protect their freedom, trying to regain their freedom of speech. Why can't we discuss, why don't they allow people like me to go into depth with the practitioners, those who are promoting Chrislam? And anyway, the bottom line is, did you look up Tony Blair and Chrislam?
Yeah.
Have you ever known anything with Tony Blair associated that you thought was really good and honourable?
No, Blair should be hanging by his ankles from the Tower of London on public display.
Why ankles?
Yeah, why? Because if he's hanging by his ankles, his head is dangling off the ground, and the widows of those that he murdered in Iraq can come and take a good piss into his open mouth. That's what I would do with Tony Blair. That's very vulgar, yeah, and unbecoming of any professional radio presenter. But you're absolutely right. He's disgusting, Blair. Disgusting. I hope there is a God. I pray, because I'm agnostic about these things. I pray that there is a merciful God, that there is a day of reckoning for the likes of Tony Blair. I really do.
He's got very rich, though, hasn't he?
Very rich. Yeah.
I wonder how. How do all these politicians get so rich? It's a mystery, isn't it? Real mystery. How they could possibly leave politics on what is, you know, a generous but not over generous pension, and suddenly they all become multimillionaires. It's really odd. Very odd. The whole business is well worth looking into. The look up Club of Rome, look up the Global Economic Forum, which has been around for a long, long time, and look at all the bizarre things that have been happening and all the predictions that have been made to scare us. The climate change predictions, some of them are wonderful. I think we were told that England would be a desert by 2010. There was some somebody said that we had until 2015 before all the Arctic ice disappeared. In 2009, Gordon Brown said we'd got a couple of months, 50 days I think it was, to save the planet.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be living in a Siberian climate now. My favorite, 11 years ago, Prince Charles said we'd got 8 years to save the planet. So we're 3 years down the tubes. Thanks, Johnny. The stuff just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? It's difficult to know where.
Nobody calls them on it. Nobody calls them on it. You mentioned earlier on that Ferguson was back on national radio last week with another prophecy of doom. Now, I've been involved in radio and radio production for many, many years. If I'm a presenter last week and my producer tells me, Richie, you've got Niall Ferguson coming on, I think all my birthdays have come on the same day. I can't wait to turn him inside out over that ridiculous modelling of COVID. But you're right. The journalists, in inverted commas, who interviewed him last week, they never brought it up. I mean, it's the biggest open goal since Diana Ross missed the kick at the opening ceremony of the 1994 World Cup. It's a fantastic opportunity to destroy the guy, and they just ignore it. Let's pretend it didn't happen. I don't know what's going on. I do know it's 14 minutes to the top of the hour. You are listening to Dr. Vernon Coleman hijacking the Richie Allen radio show this Monday night, the 26th of October, and he's welcome to hijack it. Great to have him back on the show. There's a million tweets about this, about all of this, about the great reset, about build back better. Ruth in Australia, who's a great friend of mine and a great supporter of the programme. Thanks, Ruth. She says, Richie, Vernon is bang on. Chrislam is mentioned in the Bible. Sounds wonderful, says Ruth, but it is global religion, end times stuff. And Ruth is a Christian. I know she's a devout Christian. I have a lot of respect for devout Christians, particularly the ones I meet, because they're generally very sincere and they're generally people full of love and decency and humanity. So maybe I should be a Christian, maybe. I don't know.
A lot of Christians are driving the opposition to what's happening now, because not just because of Chrislam, but because I think they can see what's happening. They're probably more aware of exactly how frightening the future is if the future is allowed to carry on as planned. And you have to look, anybody who's skeptical, you have to look at why are they lying about things as simple as masks. Well, masks are part of the oppression. Masks, people have always regarded mask wearing as part of an oppressive something or other. If you get people to wear masks, you take away part of their humanity. And the people who walk around wearing masks, they don't look quite like people. All you can see is rather frightened looking eyes, and that you can't see people's smiles. The wearing of masks is not an accident. It's being done deliberately to dehumanize us. And the nonsense that's being told, if the organizations who are supporting the government, if the media who are supporting the government were honest and who looked at the evidence about masks, it would take them just seconds to realize just how scary the evidence really is about masks and how dangerous these things are. And the fact that a lot of the masks, the 95 masks, which the N95, which are the really, really best ones that are kept for the health service workers, some of them, they allow only 95% of some organisms through. But the viruses, the coronaviruses, are a third of the size. They'll go through like mosquitoes through chicken wire. And those cloth masks, those pretty cloth masks that people insist on wearing, they're utterly useless. I mean, people have done tests on them, and after a few hours, this is why they have to be changed every 4 hours. After a few hours, they become full of fungi and bacteria and viruses, and that's what you're breathing in. The incidence of chest infections is going up and up because people are wearing the masks. People are getting headaches because they're wearing the masks. And there's pure evidence showing that when surgeons or doctors, the research is on my website, I can't remember the precise figures, it was 50 something surgeons they did blood, you know, you can test people's hypoxia with these little machines you fit on your fingers. They proved that people are hypoxic after they've been wearing a mask for 20 minutes. People wear them all day long. People in shops wear them as soon as they get to work, and they wear them as soon as they've finished work, and they're still wearing them when they get on the bus to go home. So what's that, 10 hours by the time they've finished wearing a mask?
oh my heavens, I'm so frightened for these people. They're going to be so ill. There are going to be so many deaths. And small children. I saw a woman in a cafe the other day. She'd got three kids. They're all under 10. And they'd all got masks on. They all looked terrified. They all looked at me because I wasn't wearing a mask. And they all looked terrified.
Terrified.
Because he was a person who was trying to kill them. A bad person who wasn't wearing a mask. And in fact, the mask wearers are more dangerous. Here's something else that most people probably don't know. When you wear a mask, when you breathe out, there's nearly always a gap at the side.
Yes.
They have done research which shows that the people who stand behind mask wearers are incredibly prone to get infections because the air comes back in what's called jets. Both sides, you get a jet of air on both sides from the person standing in front of you because they're wearing a mask. And the jet will travel far further than 6 feet. The 6 feet was always a joke because coughs and sneezes can travel 30 feet. They picked 6 feet just because they thought it would keep us under control and not totally destroy the world. It should be 30 feet. 6 foot 6 inches, sorry, because it's 2 meters, but I refuse to deal with meters. But it's six feet behind. You will get the bugs being blown in these jets from people who are wearing the masks. People who wear masks are more dangerous to everybody than people who don't wear
masks. Two very quick points.
To non-mask wearers, and they're more dangerous to mask wearers. Have a look at my website. There's stuff on there. There's more than enough stuff about masks.
That's VernonColeman.com.
Almost as much as anything, because they're going to cause so much damage.
I'm jumping in there because I want to read two quick comments because we're going to run out of time really quickly. I know that we could stay on forever and ever, but I've got to keep this to 2 hours as best as I bloody can for the repeats, and you're going to come back again in the near future anyway. But I wanted to just, because you're on masks, William in Scotland and Patricia make two very interesting points. First of all, Patricia says, a German neurologist has recently said, and I quote, the re-inhalation of our exhaled air will without a doubt create oxygen deficiency and a flooding of carbon dioxide. We know that the human brain is very sensitive to oxygen deprivation. There are nerve cells, for example, in the hippocampus, she says. So that's good. That can't be longer than 3 minutes without oxygen. They cannot survive. And William's comment is more of a question. Richie, please ask Dr. Vernon about microplastics and polypropylene. Maybe that's connected to the mask push. Can you also tell Vernon he is an absolute hero? Done. Vernon, microplastics and polypropylene.
They're using them in some masks, and the little bits are being inhaled, if I remember correctly. And you can get fibres from the cloth masks that get inhaled as well. It's a bit like asbestosis. You don't want that. It's not good. And also, another thing which is, my brain's going a bit berserk here, but you and I and everybody else has seen masks on the floor, on the pavement.
Yep.
If this is so dangerous, these should all be burnt. How are people going to burn their masks? And if everybody changes their mask every 4 hours, and I think these are probably using up, with all the plastic bits, there's probably more plastic involved than there is in plastic bags. If everybody changes their mask every 4 hours, the UK alone will use in 1 year 36 billion masks. Where are them all going?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to them all? How do you get rid of 36 billion masks?
They're not biodegradable. You can't. They're not biodegradable.
No, but they can't be biodegradable. Yeah. They've got to pretend to filter stuff, and the bits from the masks, all these bits that they make the masks from, people are inhaling, and whatever sort of mask they are, that also terrifies me. The research is out there. Some of it has been deleted from the internet. Surprise, surprise. But a lot of it is still available, and people are putting stuff back up. More people should do research. Do research. Look on the web. If you don't believe me, just look on the web.
Look for yourself.
Look up research on masks, dangers of masks. Ignore the BBC fact checkers. And there is some amazing junk out there that's been purported to be mask research. There's a hell of a lot of good stuff which has been done, very often testing surgeons because they wanted to know. And as I said ages ago, what seems like weeks ago, but it's probably about an hour and a quarter ago, I said there has been research done which shows that surgeons do not have to wear masks in an operating theatre, and nor do dentists have to wear masks. They wear them not to stop the bugs going through one way or the other, because they don't work. They wear them, surgeons wear them, because they're leaning over a patient with an open abdomen or chest or whatever, and they don't want bits of food or hair or beard or moustache or whatever falling into the wound. That's why they wear masks. So unless you're wearing a mask because you're likely to spend some of your day bending over an open abdomen, you don't really
need one. Folks, I've tweeted out a link to Old Man in a Chair, the ebook by Dr. Vernon Coleman, smashwords.com. There's a new trailer on YouTube. Look for Vernon Coleman on YouTube for his forthcoming episode of An Old Man in a Chair. That will drop on brandnewtube.com. But the website, vernoncoleman.com, is awash with evidence that supports the claims made by Dr. Vernon Coleman on today's programme. Great to have you back on. You know you can come back whenever you want. You don't need to be tied down to do it. So whenever you feel like it, we'll shoot the breeze about these issues again. Sincere thanks for your time. Vernon, really love having you on. That's I can't say any more than that. I mean it. Thanks for coming back today.
Thank you, Richie. It's been a pleasure. It's always good to talk to you. And I think you're probably the only radio broadcaster who is telling the truth at the moment. You're certainly the only one that I know of, and yours is the only program that I do or want to do, and mainstream media doesn't want me and I don't want them. I'm very happy to stick with the Richie Allen Show. Thank you very much. Enjoy talking to you, Richie. Take care of yourself.
You too, Vernon.
It's not meant in the modern sense, but in the old-fashioned. Look after yourself, my friend. Lovely to talk to you.
You too. Thanks, Dr. Vernon Coleman, live on the Richie Allen Radio Show, Monday, October 26th. There is a lovely Facebook group, supporters of Dr. Vernon Coleman. If you want to get involved with that, it's got 10,000 minimum members. Some of the people involved in it, Rog tells me, are sending messages or leaving messages on my Facebook page. So supporters of Dr. Vernon Coleman, people who watch Vernon's videos, who read his books, have a big community on Facebook. So check it out if you haven't before. I'm not on Facebook very often, but I will check it out myself. Right, that's it for the programme. Thanks to Vernon. Thanks to you for listening. We'll do it again tomorrow. We might not, if I got time to tell you. I've got a lot to do tomorrow. I've got a couple of personal things to do. They might take up quite a bit of the afternoon. If they do, I'll defer Tuesday's programme to Friday instead. I'm not sure yet. Watch this space. I'll keep you posted on Twitter, and I'll get Rog to keep you posted on Facebook. Might be with you at 5 tomorrow. Might not be. Got something to do. Might get in the way. We'll see. We'll see. Leaving you with David Bowie. Why not? And that closes out today's programme. Look after yourselves and one another from the BBG. It's bye from me.